Hello and welcome once again and again to Crazy
Wait,
Comics.
Have we started again?
Yes.
Hang on, I'm going to get my pants on. Oh, jeez. Okay, I'm ready.
I think you need to lose some weight.
No, I just, you know, I maybe not try on Chris's pants. Oh, it does make my butt look good.
Ooh. It is your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Oh, much better, I'm telling you. Thank God I can open the windows. The weather is really nice outside.
I know. This is amazing.
It warmed up
over the weekend, but it was rainy and humid and nasty. But today on the way home, I was able to roll the windows down, drive with the windows down.
I got home,
opened up all the windows. Now, I have to record this here podcast, so I can't do it tonight. But tomorrow and Wednesday, when I get home, I got me a big old stack of comics. I'm going to get me a frosty beverage. I'm going to sit out on the deck, and I'm going to just enjoy this weather. It's going to be glorious.
Glorious!
Corey, I want to say something to our listeners privately. Would you put your fingers in your ear and hum for a little bit while I...
Okay, fine.
Yeah, things we gotta do. I rarely hear Corey this happy, and I really, really hate to tell him because obviously he doesn't have a weather app on his phone. We are under a winter storm watch where a storm's gonna rumble over the Minnesota and maybe drop 2 fucking feet of snow right on the bullseye. So normally at this time I would burst Corey's bubble, but. Listen to him. He's just having a great time. Let's just keep him. Besides, it'll give him something to freak about on Geeky. Hang on. Wake up the line.
What about Bye?
Nothing. I was just trying to get your attention. I'm done.
Oh, God damn it.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you upset. But no, you sound like you're in a great mood. I think it's probably a good time to let's get into previews.
Well, first, this weekend was WrestleMania.
Oh, no.
They may still be going on.
I was at work. I did not. I figured this year I was just going to tap out and just wait till I hear how the reviews were. And I've heard so many good things. I don't know, it's because they went into it with low expectations. But people were just saying it was one of the best they had seen. And I haven't talked to Turbo yet, because usually we'll talk WrestleMania. But what did you think?
I did not watch it either. I was covering other wrestling shows for PW Insider Elite.com. I watched Stardom, which is a Japanese women's wrestling organization that did a show in New York. Really nice 2-hour show. Very fun. And then I watched House of Glory Culture Clash, which was okay. I would have liked it a lot more. But halfway through the show, they decided to get silly, and they had a comedy match, and then they had a women's tag team match that was, it'll be on Botchamania. And then the main event had a number of comedy spots in it that really marred the match. But for Mania, you know, by the time this drops next week, they're going to be cutting my eyes open. And I just got the letter today. I am approved for my short-term disability, so I'm going to be watching WrestleMania with one eye.
Which, you know, is kind of funny because when back in the AWA days, when it was the big showdown with Hulk Hogan versus Nick Bockwinkel for the gold, and right before I had the tickets to go, and not only did the Civic Center sell out, but the adjacent Roy Wilkins Auditorium was sold out, where they were showing it on closed circuit television. And of course, hours before the match, I dropped my glasses.
Oh.
And I need my glasses for distance. So I basically sat with one shard of my glass looking through it. And I guess I do understand the one eye wrestling viewing.
Well, I won't be watching it in 3D, I guess. But I have a friend who went, and he sent me a letter. Do you want me to play it for the listeners?
Sure.
Hey, dearest Martha. We have been trapped in this land for I do not even know how long. I pray to God that we will be released soon. Provisions have run low, as has money, because hot dogs and a beer are $15. I pray that this message reaches you safely and that I will soon be home. Oh, there is another match beginning, and it's not the final event. The sound of the fireworks keeps me from sleeping. I pray that I'm home. With love, Walter. Wow, that sounds a little harrowing.
I mean, the only thing I know I heard was the Bobo who, you know, tackled Bret Hart. But after that, oh my gosh.
Well, if
we'll hear
there,
from him next week if he ever gets out.
If you got there when the doors opened, that was 2 p.m, and the show let out about 12:30 at night.
And they probably locked the doors because they didn't want anybody leaving.
And the wrestling started, what, about 5? So that's 7 hours and 45 minutes of a show. Now, that's too long to be sitting anywhere. You and I have talked, if they ever bring WrestleMania here, I'm not going to actually go to WrestleMania.
No.
To all the other shows around it. And also, you had the G1 Supercard with Ring of Honor and New Japan Pro Wrestling in Madison Square Garden, the first non-McMahon-booked event since the 50s at Madison Square Garden. I'm looking forward to watching that, too.
But, you know, the irony, of course, was, you know, while we're talking WrestleMania, we had the Final Four in town.
Yeah.
And while Virginia and Texas Tech were battling grittily over the basketball national championship, Spider Baby, the real United States champion, was holding court just a few blocks away.
Oh, did he win?
So, but he won. So I don't want you to be worried for him. So,
but if you were a wrestling fan, this weekend was amazing. I covered stuff on Fight TV. Saturday, Fight TV was a mess, and I think it's because they were also showing the Ring of Honor show. So I think I don't think they had enough servers for all the people who were watching all the wrestling. But then Sunday I watched a show and it was perfectly fine. And so there's that. And I have the weekend before this episode drops, I have it off. So I'll be reading comics and watching wrestling. And right now we're going to be talking previews.
Yes. And it does go without saying all the books, well, most of the books, let's see, April, most of these are solicited for a June release. There's always exceptions, of course. And if we don't mention something you're excited about, there's two things you can do about it. First of all, go back to a podcast we did at the beginning of the year where Corey and I talk about the books we buy month after month, which, you know, means we probably won't mention a month after month because then it gets, you know, repetitive. Or,
and this podcast would be like longer than WrestleMania,
which it has been in the past, and we're trying to, you know,
we've never
trying to keep it
from WrestleMania.
But we do want to give you the opportunity, if you want to call and drop us a line, say, hey, you overlooked this. This is what I like about it. Or even better, if you're a creator and wondering why we're not giving you any love, well, give us a quick call. Our forum's open for anybody who wants to give a listen to. In the meantime, though, grab yourself your previews and lay it down flat and follow along.
Crack that spine.
And for me, I don't have anything in Image Comics that has me excited enough to buy it this month.
I am excited about the Monstrous Book 1 hardcover, reprinting the first 18 issues of that book. I missed out on it at the beginning. I've picked up the $1 issue and liked it enough that I'm going to be picking up this hardcover. It's a nice, big, thick hardcover, and the art is just gorgeous. And when I buy a hardcover, I'm usually looking to get something that I'm going to read more than once, something that has some really good art that gets shown off in the better printing. And Joe, I think I need to, you once were Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Do I need to go to confession about buying The Crossing, Avengers The Crossing, in a hardcover? It was only $20!
I guess you do. I only paid $15 for mine.
Damn it.
I'm not gloating. Matter of fact, well, think of this as confession.
Okay.
I will second the monstrous book. I buy it in the trade paperbacks, and I loved it. I've raved about it in the past. If you're not going to take our word for it and drop $50 and get yourself this beautiful hardcover, do like Corey did. Get the image first. It's out now. Drop a buck and give it a try. I mean, we don't advocate just walking into the comic store and lifting it up and looking at the art itself. You know, no, we want you to buy something.
The other book that I want to point out, Hit Girl Volume 4, which is Hit Girl in Hollywood, which is written by Kevin Smith. The first issue of which has just come out. And they're saying that they'll have all four issues out and a trade paperback by June. And Joe, I've bought Kevin Smith comics before. I can't remember any of them that have actually come out on time. How long was the gap between the fourth and fifth issue of the Black Cat miniseries he did?
Let's say long enough where I have yet to get my collection together to read it.
It was years. We're still waiting on the second half of his Batman story. So, yeah.
But on the plus side, I think he's done filming Jay and Silent Bob reboot, so we got that going for us.
Which is nice. So, that's it for Image.
Into the Dark Horse. One of the big ones I've got down is on page 101. It's Neil Gaiman. It's Colleen Doran. Snow Glass Apples hardcover. It's a chilling fantasy retelling of the Snow White fairy tale by Neil Gaiman and Colleen Doran. I'm excited about this one because way back when Neil Gaiman wasn't, oh my God, it's Neil Gaiman! And you actually had a chance to talk to him. I believe it was Dreamhaven at the time sponsored his reading of this story at one of the auditoriums at University of Minnesota. And I was able to go in and listen to it. And it was just phenomenal. I can't even say it. Phenomenal. It was so good. I made up a phenomenal. It was so awesome to just sit back and have somebody read to you. And I just listened and my mind drifted and I formed images in my mind the way I do when I read prose. I would imagine it's probably similar to, well, I know you do it, Corey, you know, the adult coloring craze where you get a book and you color for whatever, for fun, for relaxations.
Therapy.
Yeah.
My therapist told me that it would be good for my anxiety because it evokes memories of childhood, although I didn't color a lot as a child. I don't know if I've told this story. I hated coloring books as a kid.
No,
I didn't like the coloring books. So if I was going to color, what I would do, I would take a pen and just start drawing random circles and designs on the page and then color in that design. So the adult coloring I do is actually like fractals, which are mathematical repetition of images or other design stuff. And I'm doing it to learn the color wheel and color theory. And also because I think so much in words, it forces me to think in images, which is one of the things that I always knew. But my therapist said, that's one of your problems. You're always talking to yourself. This will help you not do that.
Speaking of anxiety, if you are going to order this one, drop a quick line to Colleen Doran. She's been keeping herself off social media as she's working hard to get caught up. And she sounded a little bit anxious because she's all excited about this coming out. She loves working with Neil Gaiman. If you look down below on page 101, you'll see a bunch of Neil Gaiman books. Over on the side, you'll see Neil Gaiman's Trollbridge, also done as a collaboration with Colleen Doran. And she remarked that her style on Snow Glass Apples was very much different than it was on Trollbridge. And I absolutely love Trollbridge. So if you do pre-order this or you're going to get it, just send her a quick line. Tell her you heard it here. You don't have to, but maybe, you know, it doesn't hurt. But just let her know you're interested. You're going to pick it up. Also, another one I recommended was Neil Gaiman's How to Talk to Girls at Parties, which was a lot of fun. Came out in 2016. However, my daughters absconded with my copy. So I'll have to get it back from them sooner or later.
Or buy a new one.
There is always that.
For me, there are a few other books. Like I said, Dark Horse Wants My Money. Page 106, The Girl in the Bay, which is a new book by J.M.D. Matias, collects a four-issue miniseries where a 17-year-old girl in 1969 is attacked. Her body is thrown into the bay. She survives and fights her way back, only to discover 50 years have passed. That's all I needed.
I ordered this one as the comic book. So what we should probably do is when you finally get the graphic novel, we should probably do a joint review on it.
Yeah, man. Take a hit of the joint girl in the bay.
So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I'm sure. I think I talked about it in a previous
review.
So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this one. And I'll wait till all four are together and read it. Because I like to do that with the miniseries. A little bit more fun.
The next book jumping out on me on the next page is The Borgias, which is written by Alejandro Jodorowsky.
You know, I feel good because, you know, I'd have slaughtered this thing like crazy.
Yeah. He is a writer who worked with Mobius on a number of things. Most people know him now from his aborted attempt at making Dune into a movie, which they put out a book and a documentary of. And it's just gorgeous. And it's drawn by Milo Manara, who most people in the U.S. know for his semi-porny cover of with Spider-Woman.
Yeah.
Not really understanding.
Which wasn't ever published, but...
And what they don't understand is he's pretty much known for doing porn over in Europe. Really pretty well-drawn porn.
And this is one of those that's on the maybe list for me because I got to, you know, I'm still doing under a budget. And I would love to get that. Underneath, you'll see also available other works of his. So, Dark Horse is pushing me too.
By the way, if you flip the page, you'll see they're putting out the Archie versus Predator trade paperback. There's a reason for that, Joe.
Which is?
They're doing a sequel.
Oh, I enjoyed the first one. I thought it was kind of fun.
Then, if you flip back last month, I talked about how they are putting out the last volume of Creepy. This month, on page 117, they're putting out the last volume of Eerie.
Ooh, that's creepy.
No, it's Eerie.
No, Eerie is creepy.
Last month,
Creepy was Eerie.
Creepy is creepy and Eerie is Eerie.
It's
never
crime.
The twin shall meet.
Oof.
Also on that page is EC Archives, the last book of the crime suspense stories. I've always been a big fan of crime suspense stories, even before I kind of became a crime fiction fan. But this reprints the last batch of issues. They were edited by Johnny Craig, who was more of a crime fiction fan than Al Feldstein was, who edited the previous issues. But every time there's an easy volume, I just want to point out, this is a murderer's row of comic artists. All right, we got Reed Crandall, George Evans, Marie Severin, Johnny Craig, Jack Davis, Jack Kamen, Bernie Krigstein, Joe Orlando, and Graham Ingalls. No one had a better artist lineup than EC. No one. No one ever will. Just amazing stuff. And I believe this has one of my favorite Bernie Krigstein stories in it, which is so simple. A guy breaks into a key store to make a copy of a key. He's going to rob a place, and he's going to make a copy of this key. And then he spills some on the floor with the key he made. So he's got a, oh my gosh. Then he picks them up, and then he goes, oh, I have fingerprints all over these keys. And then he knocks more over. And he starts freaking out. And the way that Kriegsteen draws it, you feel his insanity grow as his mistake just keeps growing and growing and growing. I read it when I was 12, and I can still close my eyes and see those panels. Such a good story. Also, Manga Month over at Dark Horse. So a lot of their manga from the past few years is relisted again.
Oh, by the way, for those of you that are very sensitive and don't think you can handle Neil and Colleen's version, you might want to go to page 118 and just pick up the Disney Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs three-issue series.
Or
in fact, you might want to pick them both up and just read them side by side, and you decide.
Or you could pick up Serena Valentino, who used to write Gloom Cookie. She's doing a series of young adult novels based on the Disney villains. And she has done The Wicked Queen.
There we go. So you got options.
And after Dark Horse, we get to DC, which has its own little magazine here.
DC!
Smaller magazine than it's been. Compare DC with Marvel. DC looks like it's about half the size.
Yeah, and they're getting a little bit lean. I noticed that. And even when we start talking about the graphic novels, there's probably not a lot of graphic novels.
Oh, they have hacked away at that.
Yeah, so maybe this will help the sales in that. So, but there is one thing I had to stop and think about, and it's their very first thing, Event Leviathan. And because I wasn't quite sure, I'm behind a little bit on my action in Superman, so I don't know. But I guess this does tie into everything, so I will probably be picking it up. Besides, Brian Michael Bendis is writing it.
And it's drawn by Alex Maleev.
Yeah. Yep. So you put some good names on it. You get my attention.
Turn the page, Joe.
Oh, take my money now!
Frank Miller and John Romita Jr. do Superman Year One.
Ooh.
And you got, if you're going to have John Romita Jr. and Frank Miller at the same company, they better work together because their Man Without Fear they did over at Marvel is still a classic. And I think teaming them up on this is going to be darn good.
This is the DC Black Label?
Yes.
Does that mean we're going to see Superman's penis? Super Prick? Dun-dun-dun! Maybe Larry Niven is right.
You just have a thing for the ween.
Well, you know, you go way back in the back, and there's another Black Label book, Joker Trade Paperback. Is that an original one?
It is a reprint of a hardcover, and when the hardcover came out, it was not Black Label.
Oh, that's why. So that's kind of on my list of maybe I might pick up. Again, I got to budget out, but if I had unlimited funds, that would be something I'd definitely be into.
Now, Joe, I am not someone who buys variant covers very often.
True.
But there is one in this month that I'm going to pick up.
Oh.
Please turn to page. What page is that? Boy, I'll be happy when my eyes are fixed. Page 12. Who is doing the variant cover for Batman this month?
Michael Golden.
Yeah, that's all I need to know. That's enough.
Yeah, and I believe this is a choose your own. And so it's not like that Michael Golden one will be like $200. They only say that for when Jim Lee does a variant cover.
Yeah. So otherwise, nothing new in the comics. Let's skip all the way back to the much smaller.
Let's go to page 63 because they didn't put a little circle on page 62. And since it's this is kind of a spread. So,
I saw this. It's like, oh, better start saving your pennies.
Yeah. I might have to be pushing some eBay sales pretty soon. Because if I ever was tempted to buy a set, this would be it. This is the Crisis on Infinite Earths box set. Or as I call it, every single Justice League, Justice Society, All-Star Squadron, Infinity Inc., Superman, Green Lantern, and basically the whole bloody DC universe. You look at all the books that they have, many of them out of print. Crisis on Multiple Earths, hardcover number one. Now you look at what it collects. The original JLA 2122, which was the first Crisis crossover years ago. Then you go to Multiple Earths 2, 3, 4, 5, basically all the 6 different hardcovers of crossovers. And all these are dealing with the, you know, the yearly event where the Justice League and the Justice Society crossed over. And then, of course, you get the main event, the Crisis on Infinite Earths hardcover. The down on some, I guess, some of the what would you call it? Like,
these are all of the crossovers
that mattered.
Yeah.
Or is it everything? Because
it's everything called, because they've even got the losers.
Yeah, there were things where they called the Red Sky Syndrome, and we've talked about it in the past. And if you there was a book that Tomorrow's came out with, and I don't seem to have it, about the DC comic implosion. It talks a little bit about, you know, they're doing this mega event, and, you know, a lot of editors were like, I don't want to do it. And then when they found out what a big hit it was, they're like, okay, well, I'll put a Red Sky in the background. That's my tie-in. So not everything tied in, but if it did, it's in this. And then there's even a Infinite Earths Behind the Crisis, which includes not only the history of the DC Universe 1 and 2 and the pre-crisis appearances of the Monitor and behind-the-scenes material. That itself is cool. But we're talking, this is like a $500 set.
$500 hardcover box set. Oh.
And what are they talking? 28 pounds. Sometimes my entire box stay is 28 pounds. So I will be working very, very hard to figure out how to get this.
You just and want if the I do, Marlon Art.
And, you know, the thing is, even if I do, it's not coming out till November. So.
If you go back a couple of pages, Batman Deluxe Edition Book 4. I'm buying the Tom King Batman in the Deluxe Edition. I like those. They reprint about, 18 comics each, and they're pretty thick, and I like them a lot. There is a Doom Patrol Bronze Age Omnibus.
Yeah, I heard about this because somebody was asking...
Steve Lytle.
If
Lytle was asked about it.
Yeah. I think Eric Larson was asked about it, too. I don't know if they said they were publishing his stuff in it or not.
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
However, what Steve Lytle said is he was told it was canceled. Then he was told it was in previews. And he does not know if it's actually coming out because DC has actually said they're not doing any more Bronze Age omnibuses. So I'm going to be honest, Joe. I want this book, but I'm not ordering it. Yeah. I'll wait until it comes out and buy it cheap somewhere.
Yep.
Because I don't want to tie up my $50 for what? It would come out in September, which means they would probably cancel it in late August.
Yeah.
I'm not giving DC a loan.
I will. The only other book I'm looking to buy is the JSA by Jeff Johns, book 3. Because this is just a lot of fun stuff, his whole run of JSA. And then I believe it went from JSA to Justice Society of America. So hopefully they'll do book 4.
If you go to page, 77. This one I'm buying, it's Why the Last Man, the Omnibus. I know this one's coming out because there's going to be a TV series.
Yeah. I will second that, although I have it in paperback, so
I would sell off your paperbacks and buy this. Why the Last Man was an excellent book by Brian K. Vaughan and Pia Guerrara, which is, it's sad that Pia Guerrara has actually left comics and now does work for The New Yorker. But this was an excellent comic. What it is, a virus hits and all the men on Earth die except for Y, who was, he was up in space when it happened, right?
No, he was not.
There are men who are up in space, I believe. I haven't read it in years.
It's been a while.
Y and his monkey. And he just wants to get to his girlfriend.
And they had Coriad Monkey.
Of course. Monkeys are awesome. They also have the Mr. Miracle hardcover, which I would have bought if they put out the Mr. Miracle hardcover first and then the trade paperback. But no.
Yeah, sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot, DC. Because even I bought that. The trade, that is.
Bastards. Sons of bitches.
They just don't get it.
But there are a few books here where I go, yeah, I'm not going to order that because I don't know if it's coming out. Way to go, DC. Smart move. IDW's next. IDW's up for sale, you know, Joe.
I know. It was that or the Crisis hardcover box set, and I think I made my choice.
I agree. Let's see. Flipping through, there is one book that I'm going to point you to. Joe, please turn to page
145.
Jim Cornette presents Behind the Curtain, Real Pro Wrestling Stories. Jim Cornette is a wrestler. Well, he was a manager. He was a booker. He actually has owned a territory. He's worked for every company, including Impact. And loves telling stories about the business. He's also, I've been trying to get him on a podcast for a couple of years. He is a collector of Silver Age Marvel.
Oh, wow.
Like a big collector. Like he goes after high grade books. But he hasn't come on yet. But maybe he will with this book. This is, let's see. Only 80 pages. Trade paperback. But Cornette tells stories of his life in wrestling. And I love Jim Cornette. Just go, if you want to have fun, go to Jim Cornette's website and listen to him ordering burgers at Dairy Queen. That's all I'm going to tell you. Just no kids in the room when you do so. Because Jim has a temper, Joe.
He does. I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
There is another book later on that I am interested in, Full Bleed, the Comics and Culture Quarterly, Volume 1, New Edition. It's a 200-page print-only comics and culture hardcover magazine, merging the best of comics, fiction, nonfiction, deep dive interviews, opinion, history, think pieces, and more. It's $25. It's 200 pages. A lot of the – it's back in print. I heard nothing but good things about this. It's not going to be available digitally. And, you know, if you take a look at the people who are involved, Mark Russell, Joe Lansdale, Ted Adams, Peter Bagg, Tim Truman, Shannon Wheeler. That's pretty exciting stuff there. And I think that was it for me for IDW, unless you guys want to buy me that Mad Artist Edition and the Basil Wolverton Weird Worlds Artist Edition, because you love me so much.
You're beloved, not loved.
And I am going to be under the knife. I will be. I will be.
So I would say buy it for me, because Corey won't be able to see it anyways.
I will be disabled. It's not working, is it?
No.
Okay.
That's a good attempt.
Well, you know, I try. I'm one of the most trying people you've ever met. Next is Marvel.
So the question I have is, and we've been talking about it for months, and now we're right on top of it. How much of the War of the Realms are you buying?
Buying or reading?
Well, I guess since we're talking about previews, it would be buying.
None of it. I'm going to read it all on Marvel Unlimited because, good God, look at the number of books that tie into this damn thing. Yeah. The first, how many pages here? Did you have to carry the two?
Pretty much everything. And if it doesn't tie pages to it, it has a mini series with the character in it.
The first 25 pages are all the books that tie in.
Yep. Yeah. Me, I'm just getting War of the Realms, and then if the title I'm collecting rolls into it, I'll be picking that up. The titles in question would be Captain Marvel, Asgardians of the Galaxy, Tony Stark, Iron Man, and Avengers. So, and eventually there'll probably be an omnibus of it that I'll want to pick up, although it'll probably be two volumes, I would imagine.
Probably.
However, if you go to page 31, there is a miniseries coming out that I definitely am going to be on.
I believe it is a one-shot.
Is it? That makes it even better, because now I'll bite my bite too, because I have a friend who I'm really, really getting into Hulk comics, and he's right now reading my Marvel Visionaries, written by the same guy who writes this one-shot, Peter David.
Probably drawn by one of the guys who is drawing this one-shot. Peter David and Dale Keown reunite to tell a Hulk story.
Yep. And Incredible Hulk, Last Call, number one. A one-shot, square-bound, $4.99. The way it should be. Just a good, some decent names, some some renowned people and just do a quick one-shot. Hell, I thought it was a miniseries. I was all excited for a miniseries. I don't know why I thought it was. But,
And yeah. True Believers this month is a bunch of Spider-Man books, including a first issue of Peter Porker, The Spectacular Spider-Ham.
Yeah, I would recommend them for the price. It's fun reading. Get to see them in color.
And my favorite Spider-Man cover of all time, Spider-Man number, let's see, what is it? 131. Doc Ock marrying Aunt May, and the pastor says, "With this ring, I thee web."
Yeah, I didn't get away with that at my wedding. I tried.
Well, there is one book I
have not bought any of the facsimile editions. I was tempted to buy the Howard the Duck number one facsimile edition, and it's on page 54, I believe, because of all the incarnations I've had of Howard the Duck, I've never ever owned a number one. And I just sold off my run that I picked up from Gruber a while back because I do own the omnibus of Howard the Duck. So I figure that's the way I'm doing it. But I guess what's fun with the facsimile editions is that they reprint all the ads and if there's a letter column and all that other fun stuff.
The
so
original ads.
Yeah. So this would be kind of a fun type thing. And $3.99. I mean, granted, if you got a couple, you know, $100, get a mint copy of a one, you might want to, but other than that, you might want to just check this out.
Now, back in the hardcovers and the trade paperbacks and the collected editions, there's a book here. I'm a little worried about Angel Medina and Buzz's finances.
Uh-oh.
Because Marvel Masterwork Doctor Strange Volume 9 reprints Doctor Strange number 56 by Michael Golden, which the two of them are on a quest to buy every copy of that comic they find at conventions.
And not only this, they have to buy the Volume 9, the regular one, and then the classic, what do they call it?
The variant edition.
Ooh, and this is a $75 one. This is a pretty hefty book.
So I would be tapping Angel Medina on the shoulder and seeing if he's going to take some commission so he can buy, I don't know, 50, 60 copies of it.
But, you know, I can already tell them their quest will fail.
There were only about 1,500 printed.
No, because I have a copy of that Doctor Strange comic, and I ain't selling it for nothing.
You'll die eventually.
Matter of fact, I will put it in a safe deposit box now that you have mentioned how badly they're after it. Or maybe I would trade it for a couple pages back. Namor the Submariner by John Byrne and Jay Lee Omnibus. I bemoaned a while back the fact that there were no trade paperbacks available of this, although Pat Gruber does have a Volume 1 that collects some of them. When I looked on Marvel Unlimited, they were not posted on Marvel Unlimited. I don't know. Something must have cracked because they're given John Byrne some love in here because, I mean, there was the Wonder Woman back in DC. We didn't talk about it, but that's being relisted. You've got a relisting of the John Byrne Spider-Man omnibus. And for me, though, I would pick this one up. I actually enjoyed this version of the Submariner because he was rational. He wasn't, rebelling, although his current run in Invaders is kind of interesting. And we've actually, I think last month we could have seen him back in his golden age glory because there were some trades there. But this was kind of a different thing. He became more of a businessman. And when Jay Lee came on board, we actually locally we lucked out because he came to one of the Greenberg's cons. And we actually kind of palled around with him a bit because he just showed up and he was like, there was nobody from the convention there. He had his room. He didn't know where to go. He just came down, found the con. He sat in the corner and ran into Butch. And him and Butch just palled around all day, and we kind of hung with him. I got a really cool head sketch of Submariner. And this was all before the actual book hit. And now Jay Lee, you know, he's a bit of a name. So God knows if he remembers us. But we had a fun time hanging with him. So, but this is the omnibus of choice that I will probably go for. There are other books in the Marvel thing that I am eyeballing.
Well, I know, Joe. It's okay. This is a safe space.
Okay. Well, I say I can't
tell people that you're buying Marvel Universe by Rob Liefeld Omnibus.
Oh, that is one I really want. I really do. I'm sorry. I love Rob Liefeld. I enjoy his stuff when it comes out. I mean, yeah, it's kind of to look at now, but I would buy it. I would. And I even pushed to have him show up at the MCBA's SpringCon 2019. He's not coming, but they do have a list of everybody that is. The SpringCon will be held May 18th and 19th out at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds Grandstand. And, of course, go to MCBACometCons.com. They have the dealers. They have the guests. If you're smart, get a hold of your guests ahead of time. Have them do whatever type of commission you're interested in. If you're looking for something tough, like say you wanted a complete run of Frank Miller comics, that you know, especially the stuff he did with Daredevil. Well, I would tell you, contact your dealers. Or better yet, go to page 105 in the Marvel's preview, because that's something I would love to get, the Daredevil by Frank Miller box set slipcase.
Here's my problem with that. I would jump all over that if they were hardcovers.
I would do it, but I've already picked
that's
up a lot of them.
That's too much for a trade paperback.
Yeah, I picked a lot of these up in trade paperback. And the few I haven't picked up are like Elektra Assassin, which he did, but doesn't really tie into the Daredevil storyline, but it's fun to read. The graphic novels, Daredevil, Love, War, Elektra Lives, again, stuff from Bizarre Adventures. So there's, I mean, it's a lot of fun stuff, but I've already spent a lot of money picking up the, were they Visionaries?
Yeah.
I think, oh, I must have them downstairs. So I have his whole run that he's done. And again, there's other stuff too, and I'll just rattle off my wish list. There's
well, Joe, first off, please go to page 111.
111?
Yeah, do you see that Jim Lee XXL hardcover?
That's on my list.
That's one of the great big ones, you know, that I talk about that you can use as a door or a coffee table. Take a look at the price.
$50.
No. It's 100.
Oh, is it?
Out of things saying, yeah, it's $100 and not 50.
Okay, hang on a second. Cross off my list.
Off the list.
Off the list.
On the next page, I don't normally pick up the trade paperbacks that just put together a bunch of random issues, but I have to get Spider-Man versus Mysterio. They're doing this for the Homecoming movie, but I love the Mysterio stories. Just love them, and they're collecting a bunch of them in a trade. That'll be fun.
That could be fun. I'll give you that. I'm actually looking. There's trying to find where it is as I go forward. Back in when you start getting into the Epic Collections, New Mutants Epic Collection, Volume 2, The Demon Bear Saga.
Yeah.
This is when Chris Claremont and the New Mutants went nuts because they brought in Bill Sienkiewicz to do the art. Just fantastic stuff. It was a night and day change from the issue beforehand. For I think Sal Buscema did the art to
Sal
Bill.
Sal Buscema, inked by Bob McLeod. You know, solid superhero.
It was.
And went pure surrealism.
Oh. Even to this day, I think I still have in my collection the where that we get introduced to Warlock as he comes down from Earth. But to have it on glossy paper, the Epic Collections are always good. They're expensive, but it is something I would pick up if I could.
Now, the one on the next page?
Same thing.
This is all of the X-Men stories after the X-Men were canceled, but before Giant Size X-Men number one.
Yeah, and this is one that I may pick up. Actually, I probably will pick this up because that's a lot of reading in there. Amazing Adventures, that dealt with the Beast, how he became blue and furry. Amazing Spider-Man 92, they crossed over into the Hulk. There was a couple Marvel team-up appearances. Avengers, Captain America, Defenders, and then finally Giant Size Fantastic Four. This is where the Beast wasn't with them, but the X-Men were still bopping around book to book. And then, of course, like Corey said, they showed up in Giant Size Avenger 1 and changed again.
A few more pages down the way.
It never lasts, so don't worry about it.
Page 135, the Starjammers. I never thought there would be a collection of the Starjammers.
Yeah. And Warren Ellis is on there, in case you're laughing, but
Well, Warren Ellis did the first miniseries, and then Kevin J. Anderson, who wrote a bunch of Star Wars novels, wrote the second one. And what they are Cyclops' dad and a bunch of intergalactic pirates who fight the Kree.
Yep.
And if you turn the page...
Oh, there's another one.
This is one I have to own because I missed out on the masterwork. Not Brand Eck, the complete collection. This was Marvel's humor book they did in the 60s.
So did the Marvel Masterworks have everything?
Yeah, it had everything, and it sold out within 2 months.
Okay, I guess I can cross it off my list, because I do have it.
Oh, you ought to take a look and see how much it's selling for, because last time I saw it was $250 to $300.
I may be doing that after the podcast. So, because I would, you know, me, I just want to read it, and a paperback would be just as much fun.
And the last thing I'm pointing out in Marvel, Tomb of Dracula, Day of Blood, Night of Redemption. This was Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan coming back in the early 90s to do a prestige format, Tomb of Dracula, that picks up after the original series had ended. Gene Colan's work had gotten much more moody. I believe this is printed directly from his pencils. So there's no inking involved. This was a great story. It's weird that Marv Wolfman didn't really come back and do a lot at Marvel after he was let go at DC in the early 90s. I guess he just went and wrote for animation and stuff. But I wish Marv would have come back and done more. Maybe he still can. But this was really the only big thing he did for Marvel after his initial run in the 70s.
Yeah,
and that's it for me for Marvel.
The only other thing I'm looking at is on page 140, Weird World, the Dragon Monsters of Klarn. And this reprints some stuff from Epic Illustrated and the Marvel Super Action. I don't know if there was a complete Weird World.
Yes, the previous Weird World trade paperback had all this stuff in it.
Oh, then another one off my list. So now I can go back and get the New Mutants.
There you go.
See how helpful this program is to everybody?
See how much I can save you money.
Yes, yes. I may still get that John Byrne Wonder Woman back in the DC sections.
You may still get that Crisis book.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd have to cross out a lot more than that.
At Dynamite, nothing jumped out at me.
A lot of things jumped out, but again, some of the things, there was a set of tumblers, I believe, that look kind of neat. And, you know, for me, I'm going to get the Red Sonja and Vampirella Meet Betty and Veronica number 2. For me, it was a tough cover choice between Dan Parent and Robert Hack. And I went with the Robert Hack cover because it's like a page out of the old TV guide. So that was a lot of fun.
And then boom, again, nothing jumped out at me. A lot of people will say, but Corey, you're dismissing. These books aren't for me. Dynamite is media tie-in stuff. Boom is aiming toward kids, which I think is great. I'm not a kid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So now we're into the smorgasbord of everybody else.
Yes.
And we'll just kind of jump back and forth, because the first one I'm going to point out is actually in Archie. And it's Jughead, Time Police, 5-issue miniseries. And
bring
I have
it back.
I know. I believe, didn't they, in the Archie series, didn't somebody jump forward in the early issues when Mark Waid was writing it? And she made the comment that about Jughead being a time person. And he just kind of thought it was, yeah, whatever, lady. So
I do not remember that, but
yeah, that was like way in the beginning of his run, and I'd have to go dig it up. So I believe this will probably tie in, or could tie into, the current ongoing. One of the things that's driving me nuts with Archie is the fact that they got all these different worlds going on. Like, is the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, does it tie into the regular Archie series, or is it its own standalone? Obviously, Jughead the Hunger versus Vampironica is not.
No, that's in the classic Archie world.
Yeah. What I would like to see, though, you remember Life with Archie?
Yes.
Remember Dylan?
Yes.
He was a bit of a dimensional hopper. I would like to see him come back. Maybe we could set up like an Archie Crisis and Archie Universe type thing. They could work.
Ask Stephanie Kofel if she'll want to work on that.
Yeah.
Although, they do have a trade paperback reprinting Archie 1941 by Mark Waid, Brian Augustin, and drawn by our pal, Peter Krause.
I highly recommend it. I bought the series. I went with the Pete Krause covers. So if you didn't pick it up, definitely pick this one up. It was quite enjoyable.
And normally Archie puts out a trade paperback or two that I jump on, but not this month. They didn't really have any of the classic stuff. You know, the digests have all kind of shrunk down to where they're now 192 pages for $7. So I only buy the 1,000-page monsters or the 500-page monsters. Them's good in the bathroom.
They are. Now, there is something I'm picking up, and I'm not sure why. I think I know why, because it's ready to rock, and it's done. In Avatar Press, they're pushing Stitched Terror 1 through 3, which I believe is the entire series, if I'm reading it right, because issue 3 says the bloody conclusion. Now, there's usually several things you can say in a comic that'll turn me off. Vampires, steampunk, and horror, because I'm not really big on any of that. But this one kind of caught my attention. And as Avatars want to do, there's about 500 variant covers, including some naughty ones, if you want to go online and check them out. But, or is that Boundless? I don't know. They kind of look the same to me.
They both do that.
Yeah. So I've got to decide which ones I'll probably pick up, and more likely it'll be just some of the regular covers. And in the future, I'll probably talk about this when we do our reviews, because there's just three of them. And I figure, you know, for three, I'll give it a shot. There was one other horror book somewhere, and Corey, if you want to jump onto whatever your next one, I'm going to see if I can find out where it was.
Well, I kind of flipped through alphabetically, so when I got to Drawn and Quarterly, they have picked up the rights to Little Lulu.
Ooh.
And Little Lulu has been reprinted a number of times. There were the box sets from Another Rainbow back in the 80s. Dark Horse did a series of paperbacks that reprinted it in the 2000s. And now Drawn and Quarterly has it, and they're going to be doing it in little hardcovers. These are written and drawn by John Stanley, who is one of the greatest comic creators in history. His Little Lulu, you know, supposedly it was a comic strip. I've never seen the comic strip. I only know it from the comic book. It was fun. It was an imaginative book that actually felt like it was set in a world with kids. The kids acted like kids. It played with their imagination. Very simply drawn, very funny, great characters. And if you've not read these books, pick up one or two. Just pick up one or two. He was a master at putting together stories that kids could enjoy, but parents could read and enjoy them too. I remember my mother reading me these comics. There were certain comics I always wanted my mom to read. I wanted her to read the Uncle Scrooge and the Disney Duck comics, the Nancy comics that were also written by John Stanley, which were nothing like the comic strip, and Little Lulu. So Drawn and Quarterly, one of my favorite publishers. Then if you flip one page to page 303, there is a book from Fantico called The Monster Art of Basil Gogos. You probably don't know the name Basil Gogos, but if you've ever seen Famous Monsters of Filmland, you've seen his paintings. He did the monster paintings on those covers. They are gorgeous, heavily detailed, just beautiful paintings. He passed away a few years ago, but you know, for years he would just show up at conventions and sell paintings and prints of his paintings. This is a book that has the best of his stuff. It's put together by Fantico, who's actually been around since the 70s doing specialized books. I'm really excited about this one. Joe?
Jumping back to page 294, under Cave Picture Publishing, there's a miniseries called The No Ones by Jim Kruger and art by will be. It says the Bastions are the superheroes at the height of fame and fortune. Their brand has captured the world and corrupted their souls. When they accidentally kill a man and cover up the crime to save their reputation, their corruption becomes a curse that erases their very existence. Elsewhere in previews, they're one of I'm assuming the buyers or whoever the guys are who decides what goes in on previews did a more substantial review of it. And it actually sounds very interesting. It's kind of a more Watchmen approach, and it's probably more modern day-ish than you would expect from some superheroes. And being that it's a 5-issue series, I'll definitely pick it up. Oh, there it is. Staff pick, page 311, if you want to read some more about it. But I'm going to recommend this one. Like I said, it's a 5-issue miniseries. And, really, that's enough for me. I'll wait till I get it all together, read it at once, and I'll give you a review on it in some future date.
This month is the new Overstreet Price Guide, or as we always joked about it, the Overpriced Street Guide.
You can always find out what he bought for his collection by what went up in price.
Not anymore, though.
That's true.
You know, he pretty much ended that in the 90s. So it's no longer what's on the cover is, look, that's what he just finished collecting. But this is the Bible. It was back
what
in
is,
the...
What volume is that now?
Let's see. I believe it is the 49th edition. Okay. Now, I used to buy it every year. Now I only buy it every few years because it used to be I would read the historical pieces. Now I know more than the stuff they're putting in the historical pieces. So I just pick it up every 5 years or so as kind of a, okay, what came out? What's a good idea? Prices, things like that. I'm not as into the prices anymore. So I'll probably wait until the 50th. But let's see here.
I will recommend.
Very, very tempted, to get the which cover is it? The Michael Kaluta.
Oh, it's got some good covers. If you, and they also have the big edition, which has none of the articles, but it's better if you are looking to just have an all-encompass checklist, which is kind of neat. They're not as complete as the old Buyer's Guide used to be, because Buyer's Guide would list all the variants and stuff, but either one of those can go good. I would recommend, like I said, there's a couple of things to do if you've never, ever bought one of these. First of all, look around town to see if you can't get the 48th at some type of discount, because it's a treasure trove of information. And they do add things occasionally. They have a really cool section in the front that deals with not only Platinum Comics, which are comic books before what we think of the comic age, but also freebies. And also, if you are going to pick one, there's a fourth edition that's not listed in previews. But if you go to the Heroes Initiative, either their website or their eBay page, and check, they will usually have an exclusive cover that they sell only through there. You probably won't get it. It's usually about $5 more than you could buy in the previews. But one thing I've noticed, there's less copies of it. And if you're buying a copy, and this is something that was given to me by a comic book guy years ago, John Nunziata, St. Paul Comic, he said, always buy the hardcover. Because that's the ones that will go up in price.
And they don't get as beat up.
They don't. And the Heroes Initiative ones have always gone up, at least they have in the past, because they only make 500 of them. They don't make a lot of them. Plus, they're also one of the charities that we're supporting at the SpringCon with the charity booth. Again, I'm not going to solicit donations, because you guys know if you got anything and need a tax write-off, you can send it to me. But I guess this year we're going to cover the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund and the Heroes Initiative.
I have a question about the con, Joe.
Sure thing.
Is Jack Kirby going to be there?
Probably in some form, because believe me, if he isn't there in person, his influence is all over the place.
But he won't be there in person.
I'm not saying he's not. One year Neil Gaiman showed up. They didn't push him, but he was there. So
if Kirby shows, I'll be there.
I'm sorry. No, I'll be busy running the charity booth. I won't have time to. Of course, I will have him do me a Supergirl from the 70s. That would be kind of fun.
There you go.
I did find the horror book that I was on the edge about.
Yeah.
Back in Antarctic Press, their section is 264, 265. I always buy Punchline. I've enjoyed that series. I reviewed it last time. Number 8's out. But across from that, Leave on the Light, 1 of 3. And it's basically brace yourself for a shocker of horror story in a small town near New York. An undead serial killer has begun claiming the lives of children by using the city's electrical system. There's two different versions. One of them, the lights off foil variant, has just a chilling cover, even just looking at it on the previews catalog. But again, 3 issues. And again, I'm not a big horror fan, but this one I may buy. You know, like I said, I'm going to just total everything up and figure out what I can afford, what I can't afford. I want it all. I'm just that greedy.
Well, if you go over to Humanoids Press, normally we don't talk about Humanoids Press because they reprint a lot of European comics. But this month, Humanoids' first ever explosive monthly series, Ignited, by new editor Mark Wade.
Ah, yeah, I got that one down too.
Mark Wade has been brought in to kind of create a superhero universe for Humanoids. It's starting with 1 issue, and boy, I hope they don't go. And next month, there'll be 8 new comics, because that always turns me off. But if they go, okay, here's one, and then it's going to feed into another one a few months later, and a few months later. So I'm going to give it a try. Also, remember how I talked about Jodorowsky earlier? He's got a comic there, too, that reprints bunch of his short stories from Europe. But lately I've been skipping over Titan Books because they're no longer putting their paperbacks their paperback books in. But this month they've got a couple that I'm jumping on. So let me flip over to that. First on page 369. Ooh, 69. Ms. Tree, Volume 1. They are reprinting the DC Ms. Tree quarterly stories in a big trade paperback. And our pal of ours, Scary Terry Beatty, was the artist on these. And if this sells well, they'll go ahead and reprint the entire black and white series as well. And then it became black, white, and red, where they didn't do full color. They just only used the color red for coloring, which was very striking. But Mystery was the mystery comic that got me hooked on crime fiction, because Max Collins, who wrote it, also writes crime novels, and some of the best crime novels I've ever read. If you've not read any of his Nathan Heller stories, do yourself a favor, pick up True Detective, sit down and read that bad boy. It's the story of a private eye starting in the late 20s who weaves in and out of actual historical events. And the last one that I read made it all the way into the 60s. So it's just been a great series. And Ms. Tree was just great comic. First time I'd read hard-boiled crime fiction. But then, Joe, please turn to page 374.
Well, you got to slow down. I'm still back on page 297.
Oh, what's on that?
I haven't even gotten out of the seas yet. No, there's a single issue from a publisher called Comics Tribe. Sync number 10. Now, I'm not usually one to jump in the middle of something, especially if you didn't catch me with the one, but this one kind of caught my eye, other than the Dominatrix photo, you know, on the cover. It's a love story. Sync style. Following their respective divorces, Luis and Karan are taking their first tentative steps back into the world of dating. After a lovely dinner, Luis invites Karan back to her place. There's just one problem. Luis lives in Sink Hill. Will this turn out to be the first date from hell? So I figured, what the heck? I've spent $3.99 on worse things. But anyways, Corey's way, way, way ahead of me. What page do we need to get to?
374.
All right. Santa, My Life and Times?
Take a look at who the artist is. Book.
I know.
Bill Sienkiewicz. Yeah, I'm sold.
Yep. I believe I had this years ago. So, but this is, it's back in print, which is cool.
Bill Sienkiewicz, he's been doing a lot of paintings of celebrities and other influential people who passed away. I stupidly went to his website to say, oh, you know, maybe I could pick one of those up. He does them like in a half day. You know, it's like $12,000.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll own any original Bill Sienkiewicz art.
Nope.
And I also don't think he's going to be coming back to comics if he can. Oh, yeah. Here's a painting I made this afternoon and get $12,000 for it. But you've got this.
It's a nice book. It's also cool if you're looking for a Christmas gift to give to a friend who may be into Christmas, but not necessarily comics. Another one across from it, under this is one of those maybe I'd love to get, Tilbury House Publishers, Far Side of the Moon, the story of Apollo 11's third man. This is the guy who for 21 hours was the most isolated man in existence as his spacecraft went around the dark side of the moon, and he had no contact with anybody. He didn't even know if Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin made it to the moon.
And Joe, what was his name?
Michael Collins.
You should know that without having to look it up.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Jethro Tull made a song about him. About that isolation, about what it was like to be all alone in space. Ian Anderson was very taken with that idea. So, this is sounds like a very cool idea.
What song was that?
I would have to look it up.
I'm going to have to look that up. You go on to page 377 and tell people why there's something on there you'll probably buy.
Well, actually, there's something on 376 and 377.
Whoa.
Because we got two Morrows.
I hope you guys are working overtime.
Yeah, I know. Two Morrows. First, there is a Mac Rayboy hardcover. Mac Rayboy was an artist in the 40s who drew he drew a lot of Shazam stories, but he was mostly known for Captain Marvel Jr. He also did Bullet Man, Spy Smasher, The Green Llama. One of those guys whose art stood out back then, because yeah, I've read a lot of Silver Age stuff, and a lot of Silver Age stuff just is kind of slapdash, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's sub-professional, but it's hard to deal with now. Mac Rayboy's stuff was beautiful and polished, and I don't know much about his life. We've also got Back Issue, which is going to be about the African-American heroes of the 70s, including Luke Cage, Black Panther, Black Goliath, Bumblebee,
Black Lightning,
Saber, the Black Shaft, Bomber.
The Black...
Jack Kirby Collectible. Collector is coming out. First one in a long time. It's going to be about monsters. But then on the next page, by the way, there's American Comic Book Chronicles, 1960 to 1964. If you're looking for a one to start with, that's one to start with, because that's when Marvel started. But on that next page, Steve Gerber Conversations. It's a collection of interviews and conversations with Steve Gerber about his stuff from before he passed away. The conversations books Joe has talked about in the past, this is one I've really been looking forward to because I'm a big Steve Gerber fan. And the interviews I've listened to him or conversations I had via email back when he was on the Howard the Duck group, one of the things about him was he overthought everything. He used to get into arguments at Marvel, even though he would argue for the violence to be, you know, more violence, more blood, more this on the page. Not because he wanted to do it, but because he thought it was important, and he just wanted to see the reasons why he shouldn't. So I'm really, really looking forward to that one. And really, for me, that was about it from the previews. Joe, what else did you have?
That was it, too. I mean, a lot of things we overlapped, and, you know, there's other books and graphic novels that, I'll be eyeballing, but, you know, really, in all honesty, I probably can't afford that Crisis set, but, you know, I'm going to try to figure out a way to get to it.
You've got plasma.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet, but I could do it.
I actually, John Oliver last night had a thing where we were talking about, debt collectors and other things. And they had a recording where the debt collector said, well, you could sell blood and plasma.
I could reach through the phone and beat you senseless, but,
but you're not going to.
No.
And now, you know who's not going to beat you senseless? People who love you and will take care of you. These guys, our sponsors.
Batman. You know DC Comics' Caped Crusader stars in his own highly acclaimed animated series that appears on Fox daily. Now, DC Comics brings the same action and excitement to comic book form in Batman Adventures. The new Batman Adventures and the original Batman are available now at Hot Comics West on France Avenue in Edina and Hot Comics East on White Bear Avenue in St. Paul. Now, DC Comics brings you an opportunity to own your very own limited edition animation serigraph cell. Just stop by any participating comic store and register to win your very own cell. And while you're there, pick up DC Comics' latest issue of Batman Adventures, the comic that adapts the style and flair of the animated series itself. Look for Batman Adventures at Hot Comics West on France Avenue in Edina and Hot Comics East on White Bear Avenue in St. Paul.
Hey, wait a minute. If you think... What?
That ad wasn't our normal ad.
I found a few sponsors for our own self.
Are they still around?
Okay, you got me. This is kind of a Tales from the Shop I had to sneak in. Because
it's been a while.
It has been because a lot of the stuff that we've talked about, we've talked about it. All our podcasts.
A lot of the stuff we've talked about here.
We've talked about it, but we didn't talk about. This is an ad from December 1993, and it was on 93X, which was still around. It's the Hard Rock station, and obviously by listening to the ad, you heard Batman Adventures was on television. And obviously, this was part of the co-op situation. So whatever we paid Hot Comics, we not only got some decent advertising time, but then we also cut it in half, and DC picked up half of it. So I found it on a cassette tape. I did reach out to a couple of the other guys at Hot Comics. Nobody really knows the origin of how this came about. So I don't know if this was something that like came to us, because there were a few programs like Cap City started. Or if it was just something that, hey, here it's available. Because I believe the voice is a voice from someone from 93X. It wasn't like we have a – somewhere on VHS I've got the DC taped ad, and then at the end you tag your store. So
this ain't just, your daddy's comics, boy.
So I got that. I've got the I still haven't figured out how to get the Batman – Michael Keaton movie slide somewhere, because 93, this was big time for Batman. Everybody was all excited. So did it make a difference? I don't know, man. By the time 93 rolled around, we'd gotten past the Superman bump of him dying, Batman broken, Image, flared up and everybody was excited. And then, oh God, I promised myself I wasn't going to lose it. And Deathmate came out.
He's gonna puke.
I thought I could hold it, but it's been too long.
You need some Pepto.
Superman Return. There was, I think stores were starting to feel the pinch because there was so much stuff coming out. And, you'd think the publishers would learn. They kind of throttle back. But no. Wait a minute. What? Are we talking about now or back then? Anyways. Just something fun from the past.
Well, then let's get up to the modern time. And these guys are our sponsors. That's right. Here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network, we have ads. And our first sponsor is me. That's right. Your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. I have my first book out with Dangerous Dan Moore. It's the first 100 strips of our online web strip, Worldwide News, the story of the lowest-rated cable news network. And you could get yourself a copy with commentary, with all sorts of extras, with signatures and everything. Just email Dan over at lordshadowflame@gmail.com. Our top sponsor, who's been with us since day one, is DreamHost. DreamHost.com. You need yourself a website, and DreamHost.com is the number one web host in the whole known universe. Just head over to DreamHost.com, put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, get $20 off your first year. How can you beat that? Our other sponsor is Graze, G-R-A-Z-E.com. Healthy snacks for a healthy lifestyle. Just head over to Graze, put in the code CORYS3R5P. Your first and fifth box are free. You could get them weekly. You could get them bi-weekly. You could get them monthly. You just order a whole bunch of them. It's great stuff to keep you away from the vending machine at work. Now, if you would like to leave a comment for any of the podcasts that we do, we'd love those. Go ahead and email us at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com, or you can call 952-856-0519. Operators are standing by. Okay, it's just a place that we'll record your calls, but we'll play them on the air. We'll answer your questions. We love getting feedback. Tell us what you think. Ask a question. Suggest a topic. Be a guest. Send us your stuff. SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. If you would like to advertise on any of the Solitaire Rose radio shows, you can. Just email us at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. Thanks. Jeez. Let you inside the control truck. And
I know. Ain't it great? Ain't it great?
Now, while I'm recovering, I'm going to be listening to a lot of DVD commentary. But you aren't recovering from having your eye ripped apart and having a new lens shoved in it. So why don't you listen to these podcasts? The Solitaire Rose Radio Network has all sorts of podcasts. We've got Scrabbling Across the West with Dave Cafell and his lovely bride, Stephanie. They travel across the country playing musical gigs, and at night they sit down to play Scrabble and talk about their day at scrabbling.solitairerose.com. There's Novelcast over at novels.solitairerose.com, where I take the novels that I've written and turn them into audio podcasts. Currently, we are doing a novel called Do the Job, which is a murder mystery set in the world of 1980s professional wrestling. Then over at badadvice.solitairerose.com, me, Corey Strode, and Wolfie B. Bad, along with Dan Moore, give bad advice to people who send in questions. That's bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is growing. Be there!
And when you're done with those, the song we talked about earlier, the Jethro Tull, was named for Michael Collins, Jeffrey, and me.
There you go.
And because of news vote, you know, we can't just drop the song because I don't want Ian Anderson pissed at me. But if you know him, tell him to give me a call.
By the way,
I have to promote some of his stuff.
Joe, you know how you got the 6 degrees of separation? I have 2 degrees of separation from Ian Anderson.
And
Clifford Meth, who's a big comic book historian and very close friends with Don McGregor and other comic creators. Also very close friends with Ian Anderson. And actually traveled around with him a bit on Ian's last tour. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, Ian Anderson and I were doing... Wait! So there's something Joe loves even more than Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull.
Yeah.
No, not his wife. eBay! Joe, what's going on the eBays?
Oh, all sorts of stuff.
By the way, your wife doesn't listen, so she won't get mad at you.
No, but she is. I got to watch what I say because she is listening. So, yeah, a lot of stuff. You know, it's kind of funny because things will slow down and then they'll just blisteringly go fast. And, some of the things that sold are things we've talked about in the past. DC Showcase presents the Martian Manhunter Showcase from 2007. I sold one of my original pieces of the Amazing Spider-Man collection, the 159. This was back in 76. Has not only, we were talking about Dr. Octopus, but it being plowed over, Spider-Man and Octopus being stepped aside by Hammerhead. Out of my way, you pitiful has-beens. Hammerhead
love
is coming
that story.
Through.
Yeah. Love that story. It's so goofy and strange.
Marvel Visionaries, Incredible Hulk number 9. I actually ended up with two of them for some reason, so I sold the other one. Shazam number 2, which is, it was one of those that I was tempted not to sell. It's a photo cover, but it's not of a celebrity. It's just the kids opening the Shazam comic, and then, of course, the original Captain Marvel flying out of it. Take that, Shazam. Grant Morrison, Doctor Who, number 1 and 2. This was a reprint of... Well, it's back when IDW had the license, and I think they basically reprinted everything out of the Marvel Doctor Who UK comic. And this one was big because Grant Morrison actually did a couple stories, and they isolated it in a two-issue miniseries. So not terribly expensive, but it was kind of fun to sell. And then Civil War X-Men number 1 through 4. You know, I've got it in book form somewhere. So just sold the comics and had a little fun. Did put a lot of things up. We've talked in the past about Little Abner collection, and I had the whole run of Little Abner. I think they only did 27 volumes out of the 57 that they were going to do, they being Kitchen Sink before they went under. And was it Dark Horse or Fangraphics? Somebody did a reprint, started over with one, and they put the Sunday strips in, even though the Sunday strips had their own continuity.
IDW.
Did they do everything, or did they quit?
I don't know. I would have to look. I know that I've passed over it because I've got the Kitchen Sink books, and
they're fun.
I did not justify buying them over just for the Sunday strips.
Yeah, and I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I kept the Shmoo one because I love the Shmoo. And the rest of them I put up. And you know me, I put them in the cheapest ones on there. A few of them have sold. So if it's something you're interested, go jump online and check it out. And as a listener to the show, just let me know it's you. I have spent a lot of time recently repricing things. I've been switching things over to free shipping. So the price you get is the price you pay. And again, if you're a listener to the show, I'll do something fun. Maybe I'll toss in some of these True Believer books that are piled up all over the place, or maybe I'll toss in the look at this, the autobiography of Jean-Luc Picard. Hey, if I don't give it to you on eBay, it'll be at the art auction at the Minnesota Spring Con. Woohoo! What fun.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. No, not where I tell Joe that I'm going to go watch a new episode of Good Girls because it's got Christina Hendricks in tight clothing.
Oh.
No, it's Freaking and Geeking. Joe, what are you freaking on?
You know, we're going to come back to the freaking because it's also tied into a geeking. And so we'll deal with that later. Corey, what are you freaking on?
Joe, do you remember how I talked about I was starting to watch the Alliance of American Football, which was a new spring league of football?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even finish their first season. After the, I think either the eighth or ninth week, in the middle of the week, they announced that they were suspending operations and there would be no further games. Didn't even warn the players. There's a lot of fallout because a lot of the players who had been injured, all of a sudden, well, the company paying for their care is no longer exists. A lot of the people who were staying in hotels and apartments because they were playing for the teams were told they needed to get out that morning. And some of them have been presented bills when they were told, no, your housing is paid for. So Vince McMahon probably should, I don't know. If you want to flush away $100 million on your own footballs, go ahead. I talked about how I covered wrestling for PW Insider this weekend.
Neat.
I watched it on the Fight TV app. Fight TV is an app for your Roku. They've got both free and pay-per-view. And I was given a pass so that I could cover a bunch of the stuff going on. Saturday afternoon, I was supposed to cover House of Glory. Three matches in, all of a sudden, it would go 30 seconds and then pause and pause and then go back to the title screen. So I would click, okay, resume. 30 seconds, back to Tata Height. I watched one match. The match itself was 5 minutes long. It took me 45 minutes to watch it. First off, that's how dedicated I am to you people. Second, I was, it's good that I didn't have anything in my hand that could destroy a 55-inch TV, because I was so furious. And I finally just emailed the guys at PW Insider, said, look, I can't cover it today. It's going to have to wait till tomorrow. They're having issues with buffering. They're having issues with their bandwidth. And also it was when the G1 Supercard started. So I imagine a few hundred thousand people were logging on to watch that. So anything else that they were streaming didn't work. It was so frustrating. The next day, the app worked fine. The stuff that I bought, one thing I like about the app is if you buy a pay-per-view, it's there for you forever. So 3 years from now, if I want to go back, you know, I really like that Stardom pay-per-view. I can watch it again. DC is dumping a bunch of their comics on the DC app. And I've talked in the past about how I didn't much care for the DC app for reading comics. They fixed the one thing that bugged me. Because you used to have to download the comic before you could read it. You don't have to do that now. But here's the big problem. Let's say you're reading a story that's a crossover. And it will say in the comic, go to this comic. Now in the Marvel app, if it's one of the crossover stories that they have, it takes you to the next part of the crossover. DC, nope, you have to leave that. You have to go find that series, hope that it's been scanned, pick the right version, because do you want the version from the 60s? Oh, it restarted in the 80s. Oh, it restarted again in the 2000s. It restarted again with the new 52. Oh, it restarted again with the Rebirth. Which one is it that I have to dig through? Stop it. How hard is it to go, hey, especially the 90s Superman books. How hard would it be when they have the triangle numbers to go, okay, I'm done reading Action. Click on that. Okay, it takes me to the next issue, which was Adventures of Superman. And the next issue, which was Superman. And boom, 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 boom. No, I have to dig through it. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. So that's what I'm geeking on. Joe? I'm sorry. That's what I'm freaking on. Joe? What are you geeking on?
Well, I did a shift bid, as I want to do every 6 months at work. And I finally got me a weekend off. My new shift, I'm off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, which will be fun because I'll be able to go to things like last weekend. It was the Twin Cities Independent Comic Expo held by MCAD Comics in the Twin Cities. And I wasn't able to go, obviously, because I was at work. The Twin Cities Independent Comic Expo is a show put on by the MCAD Comic Club to showcase work. I know. I wanted to go. I probably would have... gotten my recorder back from you, Corey, had I been able to go to talk to some people, pick up some comics. There were students that were selling mini comic zines, prints. It would have just been so much fun to hear from these people and put them on the show. But I can't get off work on weekends. Now I have weekends off, so it's kind of cool. Again, the freaking I talked about is, first of all, I'm kind of treading on my wife's turf because... You know, she gets Saturday, Sunday home alone while I'm at work. Now I'm going to be home. I still get Monday off. I give up my Sunday bling, which is pretty significant. I mean, I took kind of a pay cut to do this. So I'm not really looking forward to that. And I'm not sure how it's going to work for Corey and I recording this here podcast. You know, maybe... The one thing that happened last time I had weekends off is I know we got more topical because we don't really talk a lot about current news unless it's really, you know, amazing or just strikes us personally. But if we, you know, record Saturday, Corey edits Sunday, we post it, or he posts it Sunday night, and then, of course, it hits for everybody on the Mondays. So maybe it might get more topical, but, or not, you know. You got to impress us folks if you want to get on this show. Not really. Just call us. We'll get you on the show. So
wait,
plus and minus. Plus, I got to wait and see. You know,
first up, you give away keys to my house to anybody who asks. Now you'll let anybody on the damn show. You know, last time we did that, we got infested with the raccoons.
And no. That was your problem. I told you don't put the bait out, and you did. Boy, you just you see something with a little bit of redhead. It took you so long.
Next, it'll be squirrels and weasels.
Hey, Nothing wrong with getting out of weaseling things, except for the weasel. Let's see. TV-wise, I only watched one thing. I caught on Amazon Prime, Pearl Harbor Into the Arizona. It was back, I believe, 2016 PBS, where they actually, for the first time ever, explored the lower decks of the USS Arizona. A very controversial thing to do because it is a grave site. It is run by the Park Service, and of course the Park Service needs to know what's the condition of this thing. Even when I visited the Arizona back when I was on the road with TSA and went to Hawaii for a bit, thank you, Obama, one of the big concerns they have is, you know, there's oil leaking out of it. There's a very, what would you say, just bubbles of oil coming up. There's a lot of oil still in the wreck. The wreck is deteriorating. If that oil breaks loose, you're going to have an ecological disaster of immense proportions. And not to mention that the Pearl Harbor itself is already pretty much a dreck anyways because of all the military crap that they throw into it. So, you know, the wreck is deteriorating. You got to be sensitive to not only, I don't even know if at this time and date there are any survivors. The show did have one come and visit, and he was very enthusiastic, if not, you know, well, maybe not enthusiastic, but supportive of what they were doing. They were able to get the probe down into the third level. They could get things into the second level, which is open and to the environment. But down below, there's not as much sediment. There's not as much of the wreck decaying. You probably saw the startling picture of a uniform that was just hanging there as if waiting for the soldier to return to put it on. There were desks that were just there with stuff waiting for it. Very, very, I don't know, I'm choking up just thinking about it, not only having been there, but it's on Amazon Prime for you historical buffs, and it's just kind of interesting to actually see it, because when it first aired on PBS, I missed it. I wasn't able to get it. We talk about the eBays a bit. I did buy a couple things recently. I know. Who am I thinking buying things? What Corey recommended last week. Remember we were talking about how easy it is to find stuff? I got my two copies. Thor, The Mighty Avengers, Volume 1 and 2. So I'll be reading those and probably be rating Corey. I mean, talking about it in the future here. I also, just for the hell of it, picked up a copy of Lost in Space number 13 that was signed by Bill Mumy. Just for the heck of it. Where is it here? Yeah, this is... This was done by Limited Treasure Editions. You can recognize them because they always have the their COA is a black piece of paper that kind of crisscrosses the comic. And Certificate of Authenticity is like number 17 of 500. So just something kind of fun. I kind of like different things like that. Let's see. Other things watched? Well, not really. I mean, I started to watch Yellow Submarine because it, too, is on Amazon Prime. And this is the one where they restored the Hey Bulldog sequence so you can see the whole thing. But as I was watching it, my wife was like, you know, I'm not sure if I want to watch this. So we just kind of fast forward and listened to the music, which was fun. And when we were done, we still needed more music. So we naturally turned to the Blues Brothers, which was a lot of fun. We watched all of that, by the way. So... again, that's all on Amazon Prime. Comics read. Look around. Well, I will mention I did go out and I bought me one of them Walmart bookies that Corey loves.
I heard there was a special Detective Comics issue.
I did see it. I didn't pick it up. I picked up Batman number 4. And you remember why?
Isn't that the first appearance of Ginny Hex?
I figure I'll just speculate on that bad boy. There was an article out of ICV2 saying that they are going to be republishing all this original material in the upcoming months. So I imagine when we see that in the previews, we'll point that out for people like me who don't run to their Walmart every week. I did get caught up on Avengers No Road Home. I got through the Conan parts. I only got through number 6. I know Conan's coming to the Marvel Universe, But man, I'm enjoying this series, and it'll be if you're not picking it up, do so or wait for the book form because it's a fun read. And I also got caught up on Uncanny X-Men, which I enjoyed from the past reviews. I'm through issue 14, and you know, they got me on this. One of the things I really love is the fact that if they're X-Men are in a different comic book, they aren't necessarily in this book. So, you know, there aren't going to be like 500 Wolverine appearances, and we have to figure out which one is going on. Corey, do you watch Big Bang Theory?
I do not.
You missed the book, The Frightened Little Astronaut. In the storyline, Howard Wolowitz, you know, who was a frightened little astronaut, went upstairs and told the story to his daughter to try to get her to calm down because she was scared to be upstairs alone. And unbeknownst to him, his wife Bernadette was listening on the baby monitor. Well, she wrote it down, had the local comic store owner, who is, you know, everybody teases and forgets, and Stuart. And he also is an artist. So she had him draw the book, which of course they wanted to publish. And then of course, Howard, in his typical anxiety state, didn't want it published because he's embarrassed by it, you know? And he's like, well, nothing to be embarrassed about. Everybody knew you were a frightened little astronaut, but you know, for whatever reason, that was part of it. But when they went to show the story of it, the art was by Amanda Connor. And if you go to bleedingcool.com, and I believe it's Rich Johnson's, he posts all the art, and it's a lot of fun to look at. And I just think it's wonderful that they do that. And I'm always curious what they did with the original art. You know, is Amanda going to put it up? Because that would be a fun piece of art to pick up. And as you and I talked about, we're probably never going to be able to afford that stuff, are we? Lastly, I did see Captain Marvel finally. Corey, we haven't talked about it. What did you think about it?
I have not. Oh, I thought you meant Shazam.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Captain Marvel, I liked it. I also...
Is this spoiler warning territory?
Well, a little.
Okay,
because I get into it too much. I loved the 90s setting. I loved her character. And they didn't come right out and, you know, beat you over the head with it. But there was that sequence where she, you know, she gets knocked down over and over and over and over. And then later in the movie, they come back to it and they show that. And then they show her getting up each time. That I really liked because I'm one of those people who, when you do storytelling, show, don't tell. Rather than her saying, you know, I'm tough and I always come back, get knocked down 9 times, get up 10. Or you could just show me. But I thought, once we got to the third act, there were no villains that were, you know, that were even a threat to her. It really felt like, okay, once she figures out her powers, boom, 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 we're done. And I would have liked it if there would have been more of a feeling that she had to fight to get through physically as well as mentally. But overall, I liked it as one of the better Marvel movies, and it really got me hyped for the new Avengers movie.
Yeah, I agree. I enjoyed it. I went with my wife, Chris. She didn't. She's a little bit confused. I think the opening sequence might have lost her. And basically, it's, you know, we're seeing flashbacks of her memory.
Yeah.
And then as the movie goes on, it became clear what they were. She wasn't necessarily thrilled with Nick Fury being part of it, although I was kind of like, it's also an origin story of Nick Fury, because when you first see Nick Fury, he shows up at the end of Iron Man and he goes, I got this thing called the Avengers Initiative, and he knows it all, and he's the Nick Fury we know. Well, this is not the Nick Fury we know. He's tough, but he's not the be-all know-it-all that he shows up later. I thought it was interesting. These are major spoiler warnings. So jump forward to whatever comes after Freaking and Geeking. Corey's geeking, but you know, when they show her showing up in the Avengers, and I don't know if that's an actual scene from the Avengers or maybe just shot to get us excited. I was, And as my wife and I were talking about it, you know, I was explaining, well, you know, that explains, you know, where he came up with the Avengers Initiative, why he showed up and when he did, when he finally saw Iron Man show up. I mean, he was on top Iron Man as soon as he was there. And then I said, the only thing that's left is they don't really explain how the Tesseract gets to where it gets to in Thor. My wife goes, who knows? Maybe Cat will probably cough it up like a hairball.
And there you go.
Oh, my God, did we laugh so hard. Anyways, I do have my Avengers ticket. I am not, all my friends are going, of course. I don't even know, was it Wednesday midnight, Thursday midnight, blah, blah, blah. I am going Monday, first show on Monday afternoon because I work that weekend. My new shift doesn't kick in until mid-May, May 12th. So I'm off still for Free Comic Book Day, so we get to do that geeking, which will be fun. But that basically, I'll be basically incognito Facebook during that time because I don't want, I've gone this far with no spoilers. I just want to finish up without any. And I don't know, Corey, when you'll see it, but if, you know, we'll probably do a spoiler fill review. We've been holding it in for 20 movies.
I will probably see it that Friday morning. Because I will be able to drive, but I still won't be ready to go back to work.
Cool.
So it'll have both my eyes done.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like we're heading into geeking territory. Corey, what are you geeking on?
First, this just happened, Joe.
Ooh.
Jonathan Hickman has released some preview images of his X-Men stuff. I will follow Jonathan Hickman into hell.
He could write the phone book, and I'd buy multiple copies.
And
although I'd have to buy year after year, because you know, standalone Hickman doesn't work. You got to buy it all.
Somebody put on Twitter, wow, this looks really exciting, and all I've seen are two pages. Donnie Cates, who's writing a bunch of stuff at Marvel, says, I've seen a lot of it, and it's better than you think. let's see. Another thing that happened with the X-Men. This is why, you know, last week we talked about the joy of comics. Joe, do you want to know one of the other things I love about comics? The editor of the X-Men explained legally why Jean and Scott are no longer married.
Legally. Okay, let's hear it.
What are their vows?
Oh, death to us part, probably, the old-fashioned ones?
Yep. Till death do you part, Jean died.
They stole that from Star Trek.
Hold on. Jean died. Scott died.
Jean died again.
No. Jean died at the end of X-Men 150, the end of the Morrison story.
Second time.
Yeah, that's the second time, but the first time after she was married. And then Scott died in the X-Men versus the Inhumans. Now, the Scott that's back, he didn't come back from the dead. He was recreated from Jean's memories of him. So there will probably be stuff missing that Jean didn't know about. Although, you know, Jean read his mind, blah, 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 blah. But there's stuff that after she died, etc., etc., etc. So Jean died and came back. Scott isn't really the Scott she married. Therefore, the Scott and Jean that exist now were never married.
Now explain the Cosmic Wolverine.
I haven't read those yet.
I don't even know where they came from.
All right. I didn't have a lot of comic reading time over the weekend, but I am still reading and loving The Savage Sword of Conan Omnibus. I am taking my time on this one. So just go back to the geeking last week where I talked about how much I love the art. And just drop that in right here. I am also reading the Amazing Spider-Man Hunted storyline. And one of the things they're doing... they're having the Amazing Spider-Man issue, and then the one after it is, like, you know, Amazing Spider-Man 19.hu, and that's a side story. And the one that just came out was a side story about the Gibbon. Now, the Gibbon is a character that is kind of a joke. He's been used here and there, and spoiler alert, he was killed in the last issue of Amazing Spider-Man. And you're like, yeah, big deal, who cares? Well, in the issue of Amazing Spider-Man that focuses on the Gibbon, they go through his life. And by the end of it, you feel so bad about him and his life and how he died. And all I have to tell you is that's masterful writing to take a joke character that no one has taken seriously ever. Fill it with pathos and emotion so that, you know, it's not like, oh, now we need to bring the Gibbon back. No, you should stay dead because, you know, they've used him like once in, I don't know, 20 years. But you actually felt bad that he had died, which is one of the things that's always missing from the big event death in a comic. You know, when Gene died, we were all shattered. I remember at the time reading it going, no, 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 no. Now, if somebody dies, it's like, yeah, they'll be back. I mean, in the first issue of War of the Realms, Loki dies. Today, they've announced a new Loki series this summer. So it's like, oh, well, guess he won't be dead long. But the Gibbon passing, you actually made me give a damn. Good for you. And then the last thing I am geeking on, Valiant, the new Valiant, who has a lot of good creators, and I've read a couple of their books, and they're okay, but I keep hearing about how good they are and stuff. Well, Valiant wants me to buy their books, Joe. You know how they're going to do it?
Read your mind?
No. They're putting out a USB, a thumb drive, that has everything they've published since they came back, and it's $60.
Nice.
Yeah, I can be down with that. I'll pick that up. So once that's available, I'm going to pick that up. It's supposedly got some sort of technology so that you can't copy it and give it all away on the internet. $5 says somebody does it within a week. But I'm going to pick that up because I like that idea. I know that I buy stuff, but I like digital because I just want to read it, man. Just want to read it. I don't have room for everything anymore. And $60, I get to read everything Valiant's done so far, get to know what books I might like. Maybe they'll get me to jump on a few other books. I just got my big box of books from Alterna Comics because on their Etsy page, and if you're selling your comics on Etsy, let's step it up and move up a little bit. But they had a bundle for every first issue they'd put out for $25, I think it was. I ordered it. It showed up. I'm going to be reading through those and probably drop some reviews. These are great ways to get people to, especially if you're putting out a lot of books, because you know, we already talked, Humanoids is going to put out a first issue, and I already is like, if they put out a whole bunch of books in a few months, I'm just going to be overwhelmed, and yeah, I don't want to jump on. If you're doing stuff like that, you've got to worry about people will look and go, oh my God, Exo Man of War, they're over 100 issues, and there are 25 series, and oh no. Screw it. So, great ideas for getting people to try your stuff and make money off your back issues. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for an hour and a half.
Thank you.
And this may be our shortest previews episode ever.
Yeah, I don't know, guys. You better step up. Corey and I are ready to spend some money. You're just not tempting us right.
And as we say every week, comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most. Joe?
Well, since we obviously can't use any Jethro Tull music, thanks to weird vagarities and podcasting and music
copyright law.
I don't know, because, you know, if we were a radio station or a TV show or anything like that, we could, you know, drop segments and do reviews and things like that. But boy, podcasting is just... It's a wild west for these guys. But I was able to find something from somebody called Rachmaninoff.
Oh, rock
I haven't
music?
Given a listen to. Yeah, I haven't given a listen to this guy. He sounds like some new cat. Let's give a listen to. Corey, hit my music.